Let us pray, and then I'll open up this subject that I want to, what I would just simply call the exemplary glory of Christ. The exemplary glory of Christ. And I'll explain that. Father, thank you again that we can consider him who has given himself for us and is in heaven interceding for us and communicating his life and virtue and merits to us. Father, we thank you for all that is accounted to us for Christ's sake and all that we receive through him. And we pray that you would enable me to give him the glory and declare that glory to your own, that they themselves may behold that glory by your Spirit and rejoice even more, believe even better. Lord, walk even sweeter in their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for this in your word and for your truth in Jesus' name. Amen. This is, to me, one of the more wonderful aspects of what I would call the glory of Christ, this exemplary glory. And what do I mean when I say exemplary glory? I mean that glory that he has as the revealer of God. That glory that he possesses as the very revealer of God. And what I'm talking about, it's not that Jesus is God, but that Jesus reveals God more supremely and more excellently than any being or anything else can do. That Jesus Christ is the perfect and personal revelation of God to men. And so what I'm speaking again is not to see God in him and know God from him. Well, that's really what I am speaking about, that we would see God in him and understand what God is like, because God is, as I've said before, Christ-like. And that's what I want us to consider as we look at this. As we look at, consider this passage, and I'm going to use it to springboard just a little bit here, but what this does is it expresses the desire of the ages. Moses at the mountain, show me your glory. It expresses the very desire of Job himself. Where may I go that I may find him and know him? It expresses the longing of David in the Psalms that he himself might behold that glory and sit before that glory. It expresses the very desire of Isaiah, or the promise given to Isaiah, that you will see the king in his beauty. And really God in his beauty. It's the manifestation that Jesus is of God himself. And what I want to do is, we as believers in the new covenant, in this new day, in this day of grace, we have a far greater picture and reality of the knowledge of God, the living God, than the saints under the old dispensation. They themselves could perceive God in terms of creation, could perceive him in terms of his working out of providence. They could perceive him in the shadows in types. But in Christ, we see God face to face. And this is the privilege that we have, and this is what I want to speak about. And all the difference in, of the privileges that we enjoy is Emmanuel, God with us. And so as we break this open, that's what I want to do. Jesus came not only to reveal perfect humanity, but Jesus came to reveal perfect deity. And this is the what I'm focusing on, that he reveals the person and excellence of Christ. And so really the point is that Jesus Christ is the complete image and perfect representation of the divine being and his excellencies. The text, and I could use several texts, but the only one that I'm going to focus on right now is this very verse that is verse 3 of Hebrews 1. He is, this is the resume of Christ Jesus, the resume of that final or best revelation of God. Not a revelation in terms of prophets and visions and dreams and all those kinds of things, shadows of the substance to come, but this one himself, this heir of the last of all things, this one in whom he makes his perfect expression of himself. He is the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature. And that's the distinction. That's what I want to focus on. Two words, radiance and representation. And as we look at those things, this will set the groundwork for how I want to speak about it. But the first of all, it says this, he is the radiance of his glory. And some versions, or we could say he is the brightness of his glory. He is the outshining of the excellence of God. He is the excellence of God made visible. He is the one whose very character itself reveals the hidden God. The hidden glory of God is revealed in the outshining in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see God in him. The God who dwells in thick darkness and unapproachable light shines forth in the person of his Son. He is the light of the light. He is the Shekinah of God. And that's really what the writer to the Hebrews is beginning to do. He's the radiance, the glow, and the glory of who the Father is. And so he speaks about that outshining. He is that light. And then he uses at least the NAS, and I like the NAS rendering of this. He's the exact representation of his nature. And that is a very interesting word. He's the exact imprint is the idea. It's the picture of a typesetter making an impression and setting it in deep to give this picture the living impression of what God is like. He is this God made visible, and now it's even more explicit in his real being. He's like the Father. He's stamped with the Father's nature. He is just like what God is really like. He's the shape, as it were, the substance of God himself in his glory. The statement is very wonderful. There's no distortion, in other words. There is no distortion between what we see in Jesus Christ and who God is. The very God whom we ourselves worship is revealed in the person of the Son. And so as we take this up, I want to speak of the nature of that glory. Because what God essentially is made manifest in Christ. And to see Christ is to see what the Father, or who the Father is. And so I'm going to describe this in several ways. Let me count the ways. I'm going to speak of this particular glory. This glory that shines out, this glory that is manifested in the exact representation. And I'll use some words. I'm using all C words, and so they're going to be kind of combobulated. That's a C word as well. But let me count the ways, eight ways of that glory. And I'm going to use a word that I hope I can explain. And if not, don't have to remember it. But the first one is this. His glory is a consubstantial glory. Consubstantial glory. And I'll explain that. His glory is a radiated. The glory of Jesus Christ is a radiated glory. It's not a reflected glory. It's not the reflected glory like the angels possess, or what came upon Moses as he beheld God. A glory that is outside of them reflecting on him. He bears not a reflected glory, but a radiated glory. The glory of God itself, it's a real glory, an essential glory, and it radiates through him without distortion. It is a glory that he has as God himself. It's not the reflected glory of God. It is that glory that is founded in the reality of his own divine essence. It is because he is God himself. And so he cannot but help reflect, bearing the same essence and the same excellencies, the very character of God himself. It is a consubstantial. He himself is eternal with the Father. He himself is that holy and excellent God. And so we can really say, that he could not represent God to us unless he was God. And so this is the blessing of this glory that we see. Jesus Christ is the visible expression of the glory of God. He's God's glory personified for us, God's glory enfleshed. It's the enfleshed Shekinah. And so we have a privilege to see what God is like. personally, not God abstractly, as often he would be understood through the created order or providence as a theological deduction, though things that would be made known to our mind by the Spirit of God. But now we have God himself reflected in a personal and way to us. And that is part of that glory of Jesus Christ. He is that, has that consubstantial glory, that concentrated personal glory, and the eye of faith sees that. And that's what the eye of faith sees when it looks at him, or should see, is that God himself in the flesh. Secondly, as I move through here, my eight, I'm going to do this. Secondly, it is a comprehensive glory. In Christ, God is comprehensively displayed. The glory of God, all the fullness of deity, we're told by Paul in Colossians 2:9, dwells in bodily form. All the fullness of deity. There is no lack of glory in Jesus Christ. All the fullness of deity dwells within him. And the eye of faith beholding Christ is filled with glory. Christ is the believer's textbook of all of the excellence and beauty of God himself. All the glorious properties of God are contained in and radiate from him. In him we see the love of God. In him we behold the compassion of God. In him we hear the wisdom of God. In him we see the ways of God, the patience of God, the power of God. We see the mystery of God himself. And so in Christ, all that we would see when we behold him in the gospel accounts, when we listen to him in those gospel accounts, when we receive even further the apostolic truth that Christ himself gave to his own, we are hearing and learning what God is like through and in Christ. And it's a lovely picture to us, and I'll speak of those things a little bit more. But in Christ is seen God's matchless perfections and merciful purposes. Every day of his incarnation was a day of practical theology. It was a unique privilege that is recorded for us in the Gospels, which we ourselves have been taking part of as we've been going through the Gospel of Luke. Third, it is a clear glory. It is a clear glory a conspicuous glory. It's not a hidden glory. It is direct glory. It's not mediated glory. It is the direct glory of God himself. The glory of the creation itself is circumstantial glory. We look, we infer, and we should that some hand made this, and we understand by revelation of God that he did. But even his providential outworkings is circumstantial. The handiwork, the fingerprints of God are in all things. The heavens are display his handiwork. But again, it's circumstantial, as it were. Like the book of Esther, without God's name at all, and yet we see it working out that we ourselves understand that God is at work. But there's nothing circumstantial about Christ. He's not the fingerprint of God. He is God himself. Present. And this is, he is better than the fringes of those ways. The faint word we hear of him, as Job says in 26:14. Even the very miracles of Christ were circumstantial. In one sense, again, bearing witness to him and attesting to him, but there is nothing circumstantial about Christ. He is the direct, picture, the portrayal of the glory of God. Christ is direct glory. He's the noonday light of the revelation of God. He's not the fringe nor the finger, but the very God himself manifested in the flesh. He's not the backside of glory. He's the face of glory that we behold when we look at Jesus Christ. And that is the glory of the gospel, that we behold the glory of God in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is where we see glory, full-faced glory, not a faint word of God, but he is the very word himself. Charles Hodge said it this way, he says, Christ is the sum of all divine excellence, the radiant point in all the heavens and the earth, as the clearest manifestation of God to his creatures, the object of supreme admiration, adoration, and love. This is who he is. This is the glory of Jesus Christ. The glory of Christ, yes, as that perfect man who fills out for us and enfleshes for us what holiness in our humanity requires and looks like, but he does it as being the very revelation of God as well at the same time. Fourth, it is a condescending glory. Jesus stooped and came out of glory, that eternal Son, and became enfleshed for us. We beheld his glory, though, John says, glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is a glory that's near and dear. It's glory that has come and visited us in the incarnation. Not a glory by which men are driven away. It is a glory, and I've used the word condescending. It's a stooping glory. It's an attractive and approachable glory. It's not like the glory of God that appeared on Sinai. It's not like the glory of God that even appears in the ocean waves or in the thunders of the heavens. This is a glory that is approachable. This is a glory that is attractive. This is a glory that is inviting. And we always wonder, as we see Christ, that there was an attractiveness about the Lord Jesus Christ. This was a God coming near, and a God, when you would see him, would find him attractive in every single way. This is who he is. This was not, Christ came and his glory was not a lethal glory. It's not the glory as most, God told Moses, you can't see my face, for no man can see my face and live. This is a face to look on and live. This is a faith where we can behold God and see every one of his attributes sweetened and beautified and nothing bitter in all that he is. This is not a compromised glory. Everything is attractive in Christ about God. Even those very attributes that would cause fear and trembling, are they themselves now sweetened? That judgment indeed which would make us cringe is now a judgment which we understand he himself has assumed. That very power that could crush us in that judgment now is the very power now in Jesus Christ, through which he himself will overcome our enemies and by which he will strengthen us. Everything is sweetened in the Lord Jesus Christ. Stephen Charnock said, nothing of God looks terrible in Christ to the believer. Every aspect of God's holiness, every aspect of who he is and all of his ways are beautiful in the Lord Jesus Christ, sweetened to us. There's several statements some of the Puritans have made, but this is Charnock. Nothing of God looks terrible in Christ to a believer. The sun is risen, shadows are vanished. God walks upon the battlements of love. Justice hath left its sting in a Savior's side. The law is disarmed, weapons out of his hand. His bosom open, his bowels yearn, his heart pants. Sweetness and love is in all his carriage. And this is life eternal, to know God believingly in the glories of his mercy and justice in Jesus Christ. Richard Sibbes speaks of the same things. This makes all things in God amiable. For now we can think of his justice and not fear. It is fully satisfied in Christ. There is no attribute, though it be terrible in itself, but is sweet and amiable, because God looks graciously on us in the beloved. We must take God not as considered abstractly and simply, but God in Christ, for no other notions of God are right. And without him, all notions of God may be terrible. And then this is the blessing, you see, that we have this near and dear condescending glory. Everything is made excellent in him. This is, the fifth place, this is a converting glory. This is a glory upon looking to Jesus Christ, we will find the grace to be saved. Look unto me, all the ends of the earth, and ye shall be saved. And that is the calling. And he's said, I will make you a light to the nations so that my salvation will reach to the ends of the earth. And Jesus is that light of glory, that salvation glory. God's goodness, God's mercy, God's offer. It's looking unto Christ, we're saved. Looking unto his glory, looking to his glory not as manifested outwardly in what we might call the outward beauty of his exaltation, but looking to his glory in his own humiliation, denying himself for the sake of our souls. There's glory in his own obedience, glory in that obedience unto death, glory in that death itself securing our redemption, and glory in that resurrection. But all of these things are to my own good and to my own salvation. It's a saving glory. The revelation in the creation cannot save me. The revelation cannot save me. I need a Savior and that makes me acceptable with God. And in Christ, there is this personal and very close relationship. This is eternal life, to know Him and God them Himself. To know God without or apart from Christ, said John Newton, is not to know Him savingly. God is not truly known, God is not clearly known, nor is God savingly known except by Christ. And so that's the glory of the Redeemer. Here is this glory, this incredible glory that comes near. Sixth, it's a comforting glory. It is the glory of God's power to strengthen me. Now it is in Jesus Christ, all of those attributes indeed that would cause me fear now are at work for the sake of my soul. That he will comfort me, that he has risen on high to intercede for me and to advocate for me and to give me daily the things that I need in my life. This is the God I have. This God who indeed loves me so even as to discipline me, as to guide me, as to care for me, and the glory of his wisdom to direct me and to guide me. Christ, in him is all the fullness of wisdom, of God's wisdom, and all the treasures that we need. He is the treasure, as it were. And it's a conforming glory. This beholding the Lord Jesus Christ, and you are familiar with the text in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and as I read it, you'll be reminded of it. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, Jesus Christ, beholding the glory of the Lord, Jesus Christ, we are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. It is a converting glory. It brings about our salvation, but looking unto Christ and continuing to look unto Christ out of the mirror of the Word by the Holy Spirit, we are being transformed into the same image which we ourselves are beholding. It is a glory that is conforming, as I word, transforming. It's an assimilating glory. As we look at the Lord Jesus Christ and behold him in faith in this life, there is this that goes on by the work of the Spirit of God. Image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit. It changes whatever is fixed upon it by faith. It is a glory that when beheld in faith will quicken every grace, purify every motive, direct every activity into increasing Christ's likeness, which is nothing less than to be like God. Or to be godly, we could say. And so this is really what this glory is. And it's a consuming glory. It's a consummating glory. Not a glory that takes us away, but a glory that will bring us to completion. And indeed, that's what we will see in the last day. What we will see in the last day, when we in that last day behold him who belongs to us, we will see Christ, the one to whom we're conformed to. The beatific vision, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, the invisible God, in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the one that we will behold forever and ever and ever and ever. Yes, God on the throne and the Lamb. And we will be like him. We won't be God-like, we'll be Christ-like in our humanity. And this is that excellent glory of Jesus Christ. I did that rather quickly, but what I want to do is just close with this. It's in the constant contemplation of that glory. It is in the constant reflection upon that glory and mining that glory out of the word of the scriptures as they reveal the Lord Jesus Christ, and hearing the words of Christ through his apostles, in seeing the life of Christ through the gospels. It is in this contemplation of the glory of Christ that the Puritan Owen says this: it is one of the greatest privileges and advantages of believers both in this world and to eternity. What we begin to do, we will do forever, is look at Him. And we will continually be fed. Another one has said it this way, and this is Octavius Winslow. He says that the personal glory of the Lord Jesus Christ is to the Bible what the sun is to our planet. He says that what the church of God requires collectively and needs individually, he says, is this, is a frequent repose and devout meditation within the hallowed temple of the Redeemer's glory. The more closely we contemplate it, and the more transforming and assimilating its influence upon our minds, the better we shall be fitted, and the more successful will be our labors to go forth and invite others to study and to win them to its love. That's our calling. That's how we grow. That is really how, and I've used the reference before that McShane wrote to a friend, but it's the good counsel, it's the faithful counsel. As McShane wrote, he says, learn much of the Lord Jesus. For every look at self, take 10 at Christ. I like the math. We need it. He is altogether lovely. Such infinite majesty, yet such meekness and grace, and for all sinners, even the chief, live much in the smiles of God, bask in His beams, feel His all-seeing eyes settled on you in love, and repose in His almighty arms. Let your soul be filled with a heart-ravishing sense of the sweetness and excellency of Christ and all that is in Him. And I like the language, let your heart be ravished. It's the same thing that Calvin uses, the same wording that he uses with regard to this beholding the glory of Christ. There are a lot of things that we can spend our time on and look to, but there is nothing more beneficial for our souls, nothing more productive, more quickening, more reviving of our souls than to consider and look at this glorious Savior. Our Father, we thank You. Father, we thank You for our Savior Christ. We thank You that You are no abstraction. Lord, though we know Your reality and the substance of it, and it's mighty from the very first words of the Scriptures, Lord God, that You are real and that You are mighty and You are holy and righteous and You are full of mercy and grace. But Father, no place in all of the Scriptures do we find and do we see that so wonderfully manifested as in Your sent Son. Lord God, may He be the treasure of our hearts. Lord God, may He be the captivator of our minds. Lord God, may He be the delight of our meditations. Lord God, may He be the one to whom we look, Lord, and bask in, and whose hearts are ravished by. Father, we know that we are dull creatures. Father, that we are often straying, that we are often distracted. Oh, Father, we pray that as we would realize what a precious possession we have in Christ, Lord, to behold God in such a personal way, in such a near and dear way, in such an approachable and inviting way, in such a comprehensive and consecrating and conforming way. Lord, let us take advantage of this, Lord, and not despise it at all. Let us come to our Scriptures eager to mine out the beauty of our Savior. Lord God, to hear of His words and of His deeds. And Lord God, in the midst of that, reflect and understand not only how we are to be as those image bearers like He is, but that, Father, we may know You even better. And that, Lord God, You would be more and more endeared to us as we ourselves behold His glory. Thank You, Father, for Your grace to us. Thank You for Your Son. In Jesus' name, amen.